Hi, today's December 4th, 2022. This is Mobile Views Podcast 433, and this is John's last podcast. No, wait, don't be frightened. Last podcast for the calendar year. Then yes, he has some holiday things to do.
For a couple of weeks, and then family. So, yeah, I'll be on assignment in a sense about mobile technology, in that the first week will be a vacation, so I'll be kind of interested in what I refine about my mobile life. I always do learn a lot about what I need when I go on vacation. And so I will report back, but I probably will not be reporting back until the 1st of January or so.
I was just thinking, you should record little audio snippets that I can insert in as sort of a field reporter's report. And now reporting from, wherever you are.
I might do that. I might record short videos and short audio that I can send in.
That'd be hilarious.
Just because, you know, and I pulled out yesterday, for example, my DJI Pocket Osmo that I bought in 2020 that I've never really taken on a full vacation. So I might take that and play around with it. But yeah, it is a crazy thing to think about what travel means today, and we'll talk about the last 12 months.
Yes, we will,
as part of today and how travel is.
And speaking of your DJI, I also bought a DJI Mobile 3, I think, in 2020, which I also have barely used. But I have recently been inspired. If you remember the comedian Kevin Nealon from Saturday Night Live, he has this. He's had it for years. I only discovered it recently. He has this wonderful vlog on YouTube called Hiking with Kevin, where he hikes with, you know, celebrities like himself. Yeah. And he has a GoPro on a selfie stick. And the audio quality is remarkably good. I was really shocked. Or I am really shocked. So I did a quick test yesterday in a relatively quiet environment with no cars, but with wind. And it was not bad. So I might do something like that next year.
Yeah. Well, I do have for the DJI Pocket Osmo, I have the selfie stick / accessory handle, and it is very impressive the way it can do facial tracking and things like that. I just bought it, unfortunately, right in the middle of the pandemic, so I never really used it that much.
Boy. Yeah, same here. I bought it during the pandemic, but I bought it to, and I never did it, I bought it to record the world, in Steadicam's kind of view, but I never ended up doing it, although I did take some videos and lots of photos during the start of the pandemic when the world went kind of nuts. But at any rate, the last 24 months, boy, you know, in discussing it with John, my take on it is that it's been one of transitions and losses, you know, of all kinds. Starting 12 months ago, last December, I lost one of my pets. And both of us lost our moms in 2022.
Yeah.
Talk about losses.
Well, it really is interesting to me, the sorts of differences, thinking about, the less amount of tech support I'm doing. which, you know, you do miss it from time to time.
I hear you.
I think a lot of it's funny because my father has been, trying to keep himself busy here and there. Sure. One of the things he did, one of his friends, who's an older woman whose son isn't as available as my dad is these days, she needed a new TV. So he went out and bought her a pretty inexpensive Roku TV.
Yeah.
And just said, here. But the caveat was, here's a new TV. You can't call me for tech support. You have to call your son for it. And so the son is not too thrilled with my father for buying this new TV for his mother. But so it's the gift that keeps on giving support.
Yeah, at least the son didn't have to shell out for it, you know?
I mean, you know, it's debatable. When you're used to doing tech support for other people, it is debatable what's worse, buying it or having to support it. And I definitely think at times buying it gets you off easier than having to support it. I don't know if you would agree, but I there are times when I would love to be able to just outsource some of that tech support.
Well, you know, it's funny because my dad passed away before my mom, but my dad would read manuals. Mm-hmm. And so if I bought something for him, he would read the manual, cover to cover, and I would pretty much never hear a question from him. So It was much easier when my dad was around. My mom is not a cover-to-cover technical manual reader, or was not, I should say. But anyway, the other well, there are lots of big things this year. I mean, we talked about Evernote being bought last week.
Yep.
And of course, you know, the big one that's been going on for weeks and weeks and weeks now is Elon Musk buying Twitter. And without getting political, it has set up a firestorm. And, you know, whether you agree with that or not, it's kind of irrelevant because it has.
it's a thing whether you want it to be a thing or not.
Yeah. And the result is a lot of people, including me, I mean, I have not deleted my account only because I'm curious to see what goes on every now and then. But Twitter has become a lot less informative than it was. I used to go there for folks, some of whom I know and some of whom I, you know, follow. Had a lot of interesting technical things to say or technology things to say. And now it's not so much technology. It's just stuff.
it's meta discussion.
So I've been looking for alternative. I mean, we talked about Mastodon the other day or other week, I think. And, you know, some people have been talking about Post, which requires an invitation. I have not tried any of them yet, but I would not even be thinking about it if this whole firestorm had not happened. Huge change in the technoverse. And the other thing that's interesting is, and I don't know how it is where you are, but for me, it seems like a lot of people have decided the pandemic is over.
Yes. Yeah, I think whether they are or not, whether it is or not, and definitely certain parts of the world it is not.
Right.
I believe you're right. I think a lot of people are just sort of moved on. And one of the things that, as I think about the pandemic and what it's left us, you know, because it did leave us things other than take people away. It left us some interesting changes in tech.
Yes.
And one of them that I mentioned to you before the show is the idea of video conferencing goes mainstream.
Yeah.
The idea of Teams and Zoom. Before that, in my industry and education, you could have people that would just blatantly say, I don't know how to do that. I don't do that. You just need to call me, or we need to have an in-person meeting.
Yes.
And now that is no longer an option. If you don't know how to do it, you need to learn, which is, I guess, refreshing as a tech person because this is not exactly new technology. But it's also kind of sad that it took a worldwide pandemic to get people on board with some of these things.
Yeah, you know, I've been doing this podcast since 2000 and, now I got to think about it, 2008, something like that. And at one place I worked previously, we had kind of an office party around 2010, 2011. And one of the trivia questions was, how many times a month does Todd use Skype? Because it was such an unusual thing for anybody to Skype even once a month. that idea that I used it multiple times a month was a trivia item of interest, apparently.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me too much. You know, I think about how you and I don't really think too much about these things, but for other people, it's a major change.
Yeah, definitely. And even, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic, I got a lot of pushback by, you know, people saying, oh, well, you know, if you want to talk to me, like you just said, I don't do, we had Skype for Business time. We also had Teams. I preferred Teams. And they would just flatly tell me, I don't do Teams or Skype for Business. I won't answer your email. You need to call me or meet me. And I was like, really? You do know I control your Office 365 account, don't you? We'll see how well it can do without it. But I never did that, of course, but I thought about it. But and I should say, speaking of work, I am retiring at the end of this calendar year. In 3 weeks is my last work day, although, you know, 4 weeks more or less is my last day of being employed.
I guess I'll give the last countdown I have, 19 days, 6 hours, and 35 seconds.
Yeah, we're getting there, you know. It's there's so much paperwork, John, let me tell you. And I mean actual paper, like with ink on it and stuff. And that's, I'm talking to federal government. Federal government, are you listening? Is anybody out there from the federal government? You should not require me to mail or fax things. A secure web form is fine.
We had a funny conversation a couple of weeks ago at work about exit interviews.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are two kinds of people about exit interviews, and they both don't think the other exists. There are people that just go, oh, yeah, I always do the exit interview. They want you to come in, and they tell you you have to do it or else you don't get paid, blah, blah, blah. And I always do an exit interview. And then you've got other people going, exit interview? I've never done an exit interview, and I don't plan on starting to do them anytime soon. So it is very interesting, the cultural difference in leaving something versus starting.
Yeah, I don't think we do a exit interview. I've done some informal ones, you know, non-HR, just saying, you know, thank you, that sort of thing, and, you know, if you have any recommendations. I, however, was asked to do an exit report. So I am in the midst of writing down my thoughts of what needs to be done going forward, which I think will be ignored by whoever replaces me, but I am happy to accommodate.
You know, every time I would have a staff member underneath me, you know, decide they were going to leave, their job starting that day was to write down everything they did. So it's okay. You put in your 2 weeks notice. Great. For the next 2 weeks, every single thing you do, I want it listed out so that I know what you are responsible for and what other people need to take over. And anything that is, you know, sort of unique that you don't think anyone needs to care about, I care, and please let me know what fits.
I've actually been preparing my team for almost a year now. I mean, they've known for more than a year because my countdown timer started like 1,500 days or something.
Yeah.
And but every, you know, I hold a status meeting with my managers every week to, you know, say, hey, these are the things that I do now that somebody else needs to do during the transition. Or, you know, you may want to change these things, which is fine with me because I won't be here to care. But these are the things that need to happen. And so, you know, I think I've been pretty well prepared. The stuff I'm writing now is more lessons learned kind of stuff, I think. And lessons to be learned, which, you know, is a thing, right? So it has been sort of interesting to jot it down on paper, what I've been telling people in sort of bullet lists. But it's been fun. But yeah, so before we get on to some of our main discussions about tech changes this year, I just wanted to know a couple of other, or one other change, or maybe two other things, is thing number one, that I've been getting a lot of email for the last couple of months from companies saying, hey, you know, we have AI things that can write blog posts and articles for you. And I was like, what? Okay,
seems like
fine.
A great idea.
I mean, I get it, right? And I know this is, I think in sports has been written by bots for years now. Because it's, you know, they basically take the box scores or whatever, and, you know, there's kind of a set style to write, and boom, you know, so and so hit a home run, and so and so this many outs, and whatever. You know, so and so did a no hitter, and boom, you're done to the article. You really don't need a human to write stuff like that. But other things I think require some actual thought. or maybe fact checking, and apparently, so back in the spring of this year, The Verge and other places noted that Microsoft was laying off journalists writing for MSN and replacing them with a bot. So the headline I just read a couple of maybe a week ago said, from futurism.com. I'm not familiar with the site, by the way. So, and I have not, but I have noticed these headlines, so I know it's true. MSN fired its human journalists and replaced them with AI that started publishing fake news about mermaids and Bigfoot. You know, it's like, and you know, Microsoft bots are notorious, right? Remember the bot? They had a chat bot. I forget what it's called. I think it was on Twitter, maybe. Or something like it. And within days, it was spewing like racist nonsense.
Yep. Well, you remember when they tried to use auto captioning at the MVP Summit years ago, and all of a sudden had to turn it off about halfway through because the speaker was apparently talking about nude pictures and other things that were not exactly what he was speaking about. So closed captioning is a problem for Microsoft. Speech recognition is a problem. So I can only imagine other things.
Well, we should note the speaker, a high-level Microsoft executive, was not speaking about nude anythings.
No.
Or anything, you
MVP
know,
MVP summits
untoward.
Weren't that interesting.
Yeah. So the captions were actually more interesting than what he was speaking to us about. At least for me, I was disappointed when they turned off the captions.
You know, one of the things that my father found over the last couple months on the Roku channel or sci-fi, I forget, it's originally a sci-fi series called Alien News Desk. And it only ran for about, I think, 12 episodes, maybe 19 episodes in 2019. So it was in that great period before the pandemic, you know, if we remember the time that happened. And the whole concept of it, it's a comedy show, but the whole concept is aliens reporting on Earth from space. And they don't quite get everything. They do their best, but some of their oversights are, you know, very glaring, like talking about the royal family in the United Kingdom and saying that they're the ruling family of the country Uk. And, you know, at the time, the monarch was Queen Elizabeth II. You know, and things like that. So it's got a mix of jokes high and low. But I sometimes think when you look at AI-generated articles that you're watching something akin to Alien News Desk, where it is really just not exactly the right way of thinking about it, but almost close enough, maybe not quite close enough.
Yeah. So, and again, not to go into political territory, since I try to avoid that, this is as close to fake news. It is actual fake news generated by these bots. It's not even alleged. It is fake news. And it is on their news feed, you know? So it's not like it's on their entertainment or fiction feed or humor feed. It's like real stuff. And I've seen a couple of weird ones like that I couldn't figure out. And now I know. Or, you know, and I should have remembered the story for the spring, but I did not. So, oh well.
It is getting crazy enough now that when I see something I don't understand, I just assume nobody does. I don't assume anymore that I am just not getting it. I assume it was malformed AI and that nobody really understands what it's saying.
And you know, if you are a fan of science fiction, and for those of you who remember Colossus, the Forbin Project, I think it's in the 1960s, about a Russian and American supercomputers, which become sentient and basically take over the world. This is not too far away from that, I think. And I, you know, I was, as another side note, so I was in a building that had one of those fancy elevators where you don't speak to it, but you press the button of the floor you want to go to from the outside before you get in the elevator. And then the elevator comes down, and it tells you which elevator to get into. And it's basically, you are on an express route to that floor, which to me is horribly inefficient, but okay, fine.
It actually is pretty inefficient in many cases. Yeah. Elevators in general are mostly inefficient because nobody ever takes the time to optimize them.
Right.
Which is kind of sad.
But I didn't know this building had one of those elevators, and I was going to hop in the elevator. I was, you know, tailgating this guy that was going in the elevator. And he says, hey, you know, you can't come in this. And I was like, wow, rude, dude. You know, I'm not going to assault you or anything. He says, you got to go select the floor. Oh, yeah, I kind of remember that about this building. Somebody told me about that. And so I had to go do that. And, of course, I have not run into an elevator with voice recognition. But on YouTube, there is an awesome comedy bit about an American-built speech recognition elevator in Scotland. So anyway, go look up Scotland and elevator and accent, and I think you'll see it. It's hilarious. Or maybe I'll put a link in. And then the last news bit before we get back to our, you know, reminiscence of 2022 is Apple recently released its App Store award winners. I had not used any of them.
I looked at all of them, and there was one that I downloaded and I never used way back in the summer, Locket. And I mentioned that Locket was an interesting idea because the idea there is that you've got a widget on your home screen of your iPhone and you can send a picture to another person's home screen.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that was a nice one-to-one way of communication versus one-to-many. So it's not really social media where you're putting it out there for everyone. It's just, I want this person to have this picture at this moment. Just kind of a cool idea. But I never got it set up. I would have set it up with my wife, but she doesn't really use widgets, so it wouldn't have been all that useful. But yeah, you went through the list. Were there any that you played with?
So after going through the list, I downloaded an app I actually don't need, but won the best iPad app for 2022, and that's GoodNotes 5. Mm-hmm. And I think I may have tried an earlier version of GoodNotes, but it was not a free upgrade, which, you know, it's fine. But it is a free app, and so GoodNotes 5 is a note-taking app, and I've got a whole folder of note-taking apps. It's not like I need another one. But I thought, I'll try it, see why it's, you know, app of the year. I think it's mostly pencil-centric from what I can tell, and even the examples on various websites, including Apple's, show handwritten notes versus typed notes. So, you know, if that is your preference and style, if you are lucky enough to have an Apple Pencil and an iPad that supports it, this might be for you. Personally, I take a lot of text notes mostly, with an occasional snap of a photo of a whiteboard or something. So I've been using Notability for a couple of years, which I think for that style of note-taking is fine. But I think it's a matter of preference and style. That said, it is free for up to three notebooks, which they define what constitutes a notebook and what happens if you do some things. And I think it's only $8 one time, no subscription, to unlock all the features, unlimited notebooks and all that stuff. So despite being a poor retiree soon, I may spring for the $8 and buy it. But right now, I just used it for testing doodling as a doodle notebook, you know, versus a drawing app. And all it has is a couple of pens and highlighters, but the highlighters has custom colors, so it's actually kind of fun. Very simple.
You know, I don't know what it really means that you and I don't look at these the way we used to, where they were like, oh, that's an interesting app. We should try that or we should do that. It doesn't seem like there's anything iterative, more than iterative. It's all just slight step up. And I guess that's one of the things that I said really hit me about the last 12 months is that I think it's safe to say that the tech pipeline and most pipelines are starting to really show how dry they are from the pandemic. You know, nothing. I don't think of anything in the last 12 months that was a major tech jump. It all seemed like small, relatively well thought out iterations of a product.
Right.
And that's kind of sad. I kind of want crazy new things, even in the spaces where you've seen innovation, you know, foldable displays and things like that. They haven't really done much in the last 12 months beyond what they were doing 12 months ago. So I'm hoping the pipeline refills, because otherwise it's going to be a very boring 2023 if we just get another predictable version of everything.
Well, I must say I'm looking forward to Apple's freeform with the release of iPadOS 16.2, which is imminent. I think it's within the next 2 weeks, if you believe the rumors. And so when you get back from your super secret mission, let's give that a whirl to see if that's something interesting. I don't think it's going to replace Google Docs, which we use for our show notes, but it might be interesting to jot down things. I don't know, you know, because we really don't share notes, Apple Notes, because Google Docs does everything fine.
One of the things I'm hoping for with Freeform, and I haven't played around with it yet, and I probably could find this answer if I looked hard enough, but full disclosure, I'm lazy and haven't. I am curious if you can share out the note through a share link for view only access.
Oh, I don't know.
Because if that's the case, then it became much more useful to me than collaborative access. Because I'd like to be able to use it as kind of the idea of Microsoft Whiteboard, where I could put it up on the screen and then doodle away in front of, you know, my class while I'm working on something or showing them. They could just see the live updates, but I do not know if it works like that or if it has to be Apple devices, you know, for Apple devices, by Apple devices, only Apple devices.
Right. It says, okay, so I'm reading a Mac Rumors article about it. It says, Freeform is available cross-platform. I don't know if it means cross-platform within Apple, but does say it's cross-platform.
Yeah, it could be any of the Apple platforms.
Right. But works best on the iPad because of the Apple Pencil integration. So it doesn't say what other devices it works on aside from, you know. I believe it supports macOS and iOS, iPadOS. So, you know, if that's what they mean, well, not quite what you want or what I want. And that's a problem, actually, with both Notability and GoodNotes 5, is they're all very Apple-centric. Yes, if you have all Apple, you're fine, but if you want to use a Chromebook or something, not so much. Mm-hmm. That's it. I've come to appreciate the revamped iCloud.com, by the way. It's quite useful, actually, regardless of where you're sitting on.
I just have not logged into it much other than to test it. And when I'm logging into it, I'm already on one of my devices. I'm really not, so it doesn't really make much sense for me to use iCloud.com when I can use the actual app.
I actually had a great use for it last night. It was a lifesaver. As I told you, and I am in process of retiring, and as I mentioned, there's a lot of paperwork, especially from the federal side, for various things. And so I filled out they have a form that you can fill out in HTML, in a web page, HTML form, but it saves it to a PDF that you have to wet ink sign. So, you have to print it out and blah, blah, blah. So I filled it out and I downloaded a PDF and I tried printing it from my relatively new Lenovo Chromebook Duet 5. And for whatever reason, the Chromebook saw my printer on Wi-Fi and it connected to it, but it just wouldn't print. So I ended up uploading the PDF to iCloud and accessing it from files on an iPad and printing it out from an iPad. So that was a very useful, quick and dirty, fix for me. That otherwise, would have taken a couple of extra steps if I had used, Google Drive or something like that, I think. So, yay for that. Oh, and Locket. Oh, okay. Locket, okay. I see your notes there. Yeah, I didn't see anything else. A couple of the games, but, I've already got Apple Arcade, so I tend to go with my subscription and use whatever's on there for my gaming needs. But
yeah,
going back... go ahead.
With Apple Arcade, it's interesting to me some of the reboots on Apple Arcade from other Apple, popular games that Apple Arcade then grabbed for a reboot, like Mini Metro Plus and things like that. So,
yes,
that's kind of what I end up doing instead of finding new things is looking at the retreads sometimes of games I liked.
Yeah, like a version of Angry Birds is in Apple Arcade. Which was a lot of fun to revisit. Anyhow, getting back to our main topic about 2022, the changes during the pandemic and the last 5 months, and some of the reverse changes that are happening, where people being called back to the office at various levels, and the pipeline. I mean, I don't know if you had to try to order a bunch of computers at the beginning of the pandemic, but it was near impossible at that point. To get anything within a couple of months. And right now you can get them reasonably fast, but the prices have gone up. And, for those of us who've been playing with gadgets for years or decades, prices usually go down.
Yeah.
Or at least you get more for the same amount. But now you pay more for the same amount. And it's understandable, I guess, with the global supply chain problem. But it is distressing when you're on a budget. And I mean companies, companies have budgets too, and you're budgeted for a certain amount to buy certain common things, and now the price is, 10, 20, 30% higher.
Mm-hmm.
But on the educational side, are you seeing it ease up for the technology and other kinds of things you guys need?
It can. It may be, although I've not had to buy anything recently, so yeah. I don't know firsthand. I do know that on the education side, we're still thinking a lot about what online should be, how it should be, how it could get more interactive instead of sort of the bare minimum. Although that was kind of the great irony during the pandemic was that about half of the educators that you knew as an educator knew how to teach online and knew how to do it well, and the other half got thrown in, and unfortunately students ended up kind of having and the odd thing was what looked like an easy class was a poor class for the students. It's sort of like students like just read this and take a test. Well, yeah,
right.
But that's not online teaching. That's a correspondence course, which is something the Department of Ed does not like you doing with student aid money.
Of course.
So that was the other problem. And this year, with more students being in the classroom than they had been in 2020 and 2021, we are noticing it's taken a while for them to get back into this idea that you can't just memorize something to put on a test. a multiple choice exam and say that you mastered it.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, there's all good old unit mastery testing, but that's it. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I was speaking to a young fella who is in high school and graduating this coming spring, and he noted to me that this is the first year since his freshman year that he's been in class full time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a weird thought to have gone through high school. I mean, unless you're homeschooled, which is in a whole different situation, but if you're going to a normal, maybe normal's not the right word, a conventional public high school situation, or private school for that matter. I think it's kind of weird to have spent half your high school years not with your peers, except via video calls or email or text or whatever.
Very true. And it's taking them a while to get back to it, but
yeah,
we'll get there. 2023, I think, will be an interesting evolution again, as people get more and more used to in-person classes and using some of this technology as effectively as it can be, instead of having to use it all or nothing, which I think was kind of the problem that we ended up with in the pandemic. You know, Zoom can do a very nice job with a hybrid class of allowing for interaction that you couldn't have as easily before. But when you have to go to it 100%, you don't get to do any of the innovating. You're just kind of stuck with it.
Right. And it's the same on the, you know, on sort of the workaday business folks, not in educational situations, where for those who are fortunate to have been able to telework or some kind of hybrid telework, it's become a real issue about bringing people back to the office. I know I sent people back home when the Omicron variants really started to, you know, bring up the counts here. That was back in May, I think. And then I brought them back one day a week, I think, in August. And then 2 days a week in October. And I started to get a lot of questions, like, are you going to make us come back 3, 4, 5 days a week? And I said, I don't have any plans, but, you know, there will be a management shift in 2023. Yep. So I would recommend you all have metrics on how you perform, mm-hmm. and how you function, and why you think hybrid telework works. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to be able to defend it. I know what you guys are doing, but the new person may not. So mm-hmm. you know, you're going to have to explain yourself to, there's a, oh God, Ricky Ricardo and I Love You used to have a saying, explain yourself, Lucy.
You know? Yep. I think that's all that comes down to it a lot of ways, is just if you can explain how the changes that COVID necessitate made your job better and your life better,
yeah,
then you can defend it and keep it. If your whole explanation is it made my life better but my job didn't get any better at it, then it's going to be a hard sell.
Right. Especially if you have a job that doesn't have metrics. You know, most of these folks are knowledge workers, to use an old term, not factory workers, though. You can't count how many widgets they make, and lines of code is a ridiculous count, in my opinion.
Yeah.
To me, the fewer lines of code you write to do the same thing, the better you are. But, you know, more lines is worse.
I hate to see people that minify, you know, everything's just on one line then. That's
APL.
Yeah.
You can write a whole regression routine in one line in APL. But anyway, it's unreadable, but you can do it.
Yep.
But yeah, you know, it's a really interesting mindset change that has happened for a lot of people. And I got to say, I agree with them. I think that the couple hours a week I spend not in traffic, mm-hmm. it has a lot of positive things, including getting more work done, or at least more hours of work done, if not.
Well, and at least you're not as angry, you know.
Yeah.
There are psychological benefits that I think we don't always take into account at how important they are. I just think about the people that when they got to work after a long commute would tell you, don't talk to me for the first half hour of my day. I got to get up and running and I got to get stuff done. And, you know, we can have meetings starting at 8:30 or 9:30, but not before that.
Or similarly when they get home.
Productivity.
You know, with their families.
Yep.
Yeah. Don't talk to me. Everybody's been talking to me all day.
Yeah.
So, it'll be an interesting thing to watch. I've tried to set it up so that hybrid telework is a viable option. And by try to set it up, I mean, you know, buying the equipment that's needed for a good conference, you know, hybrid conference thing where you have a bunch of people in the office and a bunch, much, many more not in the office, all in the same call, so they have a good experience. In fact, to me, a better experience than you would if everybody were in the office. as well as, you know, just generally, we don't have enough. It's a weird thing, you know. So during, just before the pandemic, we were consolidating workspace. And we lost, like, mm-hmm. several floors. My group lost 4 floors of office space. Mm-hmm. And we got all crammed into this area that previously used to have only about half of our staff. And now everybody was there, pretty much. And even though, you know, we lost people through retirement and so forth, and we had enough cubicle space, more recently we've been kind of downsized again, not in terms of people, but in terms of space for the same number of people. And so I've had to start doing things like hoteling. So we are now at negative cubicle count, where we have fewer cubicles than we have people. So there are some people that I said, you know, this is the way it's got to be. And they're fine because they don't want to come in every day anyway. And they share a cubicle. And, you know, they, you know, bring their own notebook and whatever, so they don't have to touch somebody else's stuff. And
yep.
There's a little drawer to store their, you know, mug or whatever. And I think we're going to have to go from what I'm calling time sharing now, because you have an assigned cube. It's just shared with another person. I think as we downsize in space more and we hopefully add some positions, I told folks, you got to shift to hoteling. So time sharing is you have an assigned space. Hoteling is you get the space that's available that day. And yep. You have to, you know, make a reservation and then check in when you get there and check out. And next time you come, you might have a different cube. So, yeah, it's going to be a real different world. I mean, salespeople have done that for, you know, decades. So that's nothing new. But we don't have salespeople. We're not a sales organization. So it's a whole different kind of thing. What kind of changes? I mean, I assume you're all in classes every day now. And
yeah, and, you know, that is also something that was very different institution by institution. One of our one of my new hires at Delta State was very shocked that the entire time that they were out remote at their school, we were hybrid and we were teaching classes. The only time my school was ever 100% remote was spring of 2020. Fall of 2021, we came back in person at least one day a week, hybrid courses and things like that. So I think that also really depended on where you were and what you were expecting to do and culture and all of those things.
Yeah.
So now, yeah, we're back. We've had a regular schedule now for over a year, but it's getting everyone on board with that idea. You know, we had a lot of exceptions at the beginning for students who couldn't be there. Now most of those exceptions have gone away. And so it's been hard for students to realize, oh, I actually have to be in class.
Yeah. Have you noticed a change in technology tooling that kids use? I mean, kids, they're young adults, that the university students use now versus pre-pandemic? Is it, you know, more technological since they've had to use it more, or about the same?
Not as much as you would think. And if they do have experience, at least the ones that I get, they had it with Google Classroom and Google Docs and those sorts of things, and trying to get them onto Office 365 can be a big challenge. And even then, there are things that you would think that if they had been using Google Docs for so long, they would know how to do.
Right.
So occasionally I'll have a student that will, instead of me saying, you know, I'll tell them, download this and upload it as a Word document to the LMS. You know, I don't want you to just send me a share link.
Right.
They'll still send me a share link, and then I won't have permissions to open the share link.
Mm.
So it's this weird sort of world of, okay, so you know how to use this tool, but you don't know how to use it well.
Yeah.
And that is a very frustrating thing to try to work through.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And this is, you know, I guess endemic is the word, and it has been for decades, where people have had the tools, they just don't know how to use them. I think it's sort of like, and being a young person, I'm talking about you, I'm an old person. You're kind of maybe the exception to the rule where, you know, back in the day where if you drove a car, you needed to be a mechanic. And you, you know, aside from being a professor, are also a technical mechanic, mm-hmm. or a technology mechanic. And so you know how to do stuff under the hood, so to speak. Whereas most people, you know, have moved past the days where you needed to be a car mechanic to drive, and they've moved past, you know, manual transmission, and they expect, you know, they expect auto driving, you know, more than automatic transmission. They just don't care. You know, it's like, yeah, I crash once in a while. It's okay.
Yeah, which is kind of a strange reality, but it's true.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just thinking about the other changes this year, you know, that you already mentioned. And I think, to me, the other change is the reverse, is people are wanting things that were like before. Like, every now and then, a wet signature, when I thought we had moved everybody to e-sign.
Yeah. When you had hoped.
Yeah. Or like people who insist on a face-to-face meeting. And I should say, you know, I don't want to, since maybe I'll be hypocritical, but I have been doing face-to-face, not so much meetings. I've been doing what I'm calling the Hello, Thank You, Goodbye tour, where I've been stopping in or making an appointment to see folks I've worked with over the years, just to say, you know, hello, thank you, goodbye, literally. But aside from that, I really don't want to see people in person. The fewer I see, the happier, especially with the flu and RSV and other kinds of respiratory illnesses, aside from COVID, literally in the air. You know, I think for the next couple of months, have you seen the flu numbers? I don't know how your state is. My state is, I think, moderate and rising.
Yeah, I've not looked, but given how many people I know that have had it recently, it's getting bad down here. So that's another reason why, you know, this next week, you know, God help anyone who gets me sick before vacation.
Oh, no.
I will find ways to exact revenge on them. Yeah.
I have a special set of skills.
Yes.
But, that's the other thing, is the reversal of what's happening. And I know for our team, you know, one of the things I said to them is, you know, we're a government, right? So we have a new administration coming in. I said, I have no idea what they're thinking, because I am not a political animal. I don't talk to those folks. But they may decide they want to see everybody's behind in a chair in the office, you know, and you need to be prepared for that soon. In fact, our new governor takes oath of office tomorrow at noon, so we'll probably find out soon enough what the new administration is thinking. I'm hoping that they'll leave things more or less alone until they have time to do some.
For at least the next 19 days?
Yeah.
They'll leave things alone?
Yeah. And even beyond, you know, they can. I think it would behoove them to at least take a look at how things have been working for nearly 3 years now, and also things that haven't been working, if that's the way they view it. But to give some consideration to the fact that, you know, we kept the lights on, the way things are. So, anyway, not that they listen to me, but that's my 2 cents adjusted for inflation. Okay, John. Well, as I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, Podcast 433 is John's last podcast for this calendar year. I hope I said that fast enough so people didn't get scared. And I will literally see you on Teams. We use Teams, by the way, most of the time. I will see you on Teams come the new year, which, by the way, is the year of the rabbit. I checked.
Very good.
Yes. So, year of the rabbit, if you follow the Chinese zodiac or other Asian zodiacs, I guess are the same also. And happy travels, and enjoy your technology, your mobile technology explorations, and I will see you in a couple of weeks.
All right.